Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. We are holding on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Ula on the second to last skinny line of Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. This show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Emily Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And it's also sponsored by Dr. David Belson in memory of his mother, Deborah Devorah Bas Simcha, whose yard site is tomorrow, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish up the discussion of two chatzai zesim, and we're going to discuss the status of tumas masa. If you have two chatzai zesim that you carry on a toothpick, on a stick, or something like that, are they mitzaref with one another, and why should that be any different than when the shnei chatzai zesim are attached to the skin of an animal? Then the Mishnah on the bottom, going over to the top of today's daf, is going to discuss the status of tumah of bones that have moach inside of them in particular. Is that the status of basar, the status of bones? The Gemara is going to discuss that an etzem min ha-meis is metame b'mago b'masa, but is not metame ba'ohel, whereas basar min ha-meis is metame ba'ohel. What does that mean as far as bones that have marrow inside of them? Are they metame ba'ohel or are they not metame ba'ohel? Does it have a din of etzem min ha-meis? Does it have a din of basar min ha-meis? And the Gemara is going to discuss that there are different factors when it comes to whether a bone has a din of an aver, because an aver is metame ba'ohel. So how much basar does it need to have in order for it to have the status of an aver, or what qualities does it need to have in order for it to have the status of an aver? The Gemara is going to introduce the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that tumas maga and tumas ohel are the same type of tumah, that negia and ohel are the same type of tumah. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out, is that true of all types of ohel? Is ohel the same in all situations, or are there types of ohel that are like maga and other types of ohel that are not at all like maga? What else the Gemara is going to discuss when it comes to being mafsik with an ohel over a mace. So what are the rules exactly? How high above the mace does it have to be? What if you have an ohel over something that's ma'ihil over a mace within a tefach of the mace? Is that the same as something that's ma'ihil much higher off of the mace? So that discussion will bring us well into tomorrow's daf. We'll see how far we get. Okay, so let us begin again. We're at Amar Ula, second to last skinny line of Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Ula, Shnei Chatzai Zesim Shetachavan Bekesim, that if you take two Chatzai Zesim of a nevela and you attach them to a toothpick, to a stick, Afilu Moluch Mevi Kol Yom Kulo, even if you're carrying that thing around all day long, Tahar, you did not become Tamei B'maga, because you didn't touch the Chatzai Basa themselves anyway, nor have you become Tamei B'masa. So the point over here is that you're not metame b'masa. My time, why aren't you metame b'masa? You were carrying both chatzai zesim, so in total you were carrying a kazai shalem from a nevela, and a nevela is in fact metame b'masa, because ksiv, it says by Thomas and nevela, v'nisa. The Torah says, v'anoseis nevelasam b'chabes b'gadah v'tame ad ha'erev. So from the fact that it's written, the word v'hanose is written without a vav, we're saying that it's ksiv is v'nisa, v'hanisa, rather than v'hanose, even though v'karinon, no say. The way to pronounce the word is v'hanose, but it's written without the vav, but we pronounce it as if it were written with the vav. That implies that a person is carrying the nevela. So we darshan the kri and the ksiv as follows. Ba'ina nise, v'nose rather, v'hu, denisa b'basachas. That we need that in order for something to be mitame b'masa, the person needs to be carrying them, but they're only metame in a situation where they're attached to one another, and therefore they're automatically carried together, but not if they're being held together by something else. They have to inherently be connected to one another in order for it to be metame b'tumas masa. So I take shnei chatzai zesim and I stick them on the same toothpick. There's nothing inherently about them that attaches them. It's a toothpick that's attaching them, and memeila, they're not metame b'masa. So that's why, kol yom kulo, you're carrying it around, you're going to be tahar. So I ask the Gemara, wait, wait just a second. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Hayu olav shnei chatzai zesim, mitamin bimasa velo bimaga div Rabbi Yishmael, amai v'olav nisahu, that Rabbi Yishmael holds that if you have shnei chatzai zesim attached to some of the ore of the animal, that it's mitamin bimasa. But why should it be mitamin masa? It's not nisa, because the basar is divided into two pieces, according to Ula. If they're not inherently connected to one another, then there's no tumas masa. So Amar of Papa, the Gemara answers bimerudad, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the two chatzai zesim are attached to one another with a strip of basar. So you have a chatzai zayis basar and a chatzai zayis basar, and you have a strip of basar that connects one with the other. So that's enough to make it a chibur legabe tumas masa, that it's considered to be inherently connected, and therefore mitami b'tumas masa. The Rishonim asked the obvious question: well, wait just a second. If there's a chibur, and therefore it's considered to be one big kazayis of basar, why aren't they mitami b'maga? Meaning, if it's a kazayis of basar, so it should be mitami b'maga as well. So Rashi explains that over here merudad means that the shnei chatzai zesim are separated, and there's a ritzua basa that attaches them together, and therefore they're mitami masa when they are carried together. But it's not considered. That strip is not enough to be mitzarif, to be mitame bimaga, meaning that the tumas masa, you're already a little bit ahead of the game, because when you're carrying it, you are carrying both of them together. You're carrying a full kazayas, so there is more of an inherent connectivity in the type of tumah. Whereas tumas maga, you're only touching one and not the other. You're not touching them as a single unit. Tosus explains that we're talking about that the basar that's mechaber the chatichos together is very weak, and therefore you wouldn't be able to pick up the basar by holding a small portion of it and by picking up the smaller portion, and it won't lift up the others with it, and therefore it's not going to be metame bimaga. Meaning, again, but by tumas masa it's metame, because when you pick up the larger portion, it will pick up the smaller portion with it. But again, it's the same idea, that the connectivity needed in order to be metame bimasa is not as strong as the connectivity needed in order to be metame bimaga. But there is some level of connectivity that's needed, and that level of connectivity is enough if you have a little strip of basar that attaches the two of them. But if they're not attached at all, they're just both stuck on the same toothpick, then you're not even metame bimasa. So says Mar Tashma, I'll bring you another raya from the Seif of the Mishnah, that Moder Rabbi Kiva b'shnei chatzai zeshem shetchavan b'kisam v'hisitan shu tame. The Rabbi Kiva gives this exact case. You have shnei chatzai zeshem that you stick onto a toothpick and you move it around. The Rabbi Kiva says, I'm Moder that you're tame. Amai v'alav nisahu. But it's two separate chatzai zeshem that are not attached to one another. So says Mar, hachanami b'merudad. In that case, we must also be talking about that the shnei chatzai zeshem are attached by a strip of basar that holds them together. So the Gemara explains that Ula's shita, that shnei chatzai zesim have to be able to be connected to one another in order to be metame, is actually ketanoi. It's actually subject to machlokas tanoim. Echad anogea ve'echad hamesit. Rabbi Elazar Amar af hanosei, that the Brisa says that whether you touch shnei chatzai zesim or whether you move shnei chatzai zesim, you're tame. And Rabbi Lazar says, even if you carry shnei chatzai zesim yotamei. Well, wait a second. What's Rabbi Lazar saying different than Tanakama? Atu nosi lav mesitu? Of course, if you carry is the same as mesit, meaning when you're carrying it, you're moving it by definition. So what's Rabbi Lazar adding to the chachamim? Elo lav hachikamer. No, the way to understand the machlokas is as follows. Echra nugea, vechra mesit below nisa. That Tanakama says that if you touch the shnei chatzai zesim, or even if you move them, even in a situation where you don't carry them together, that they're separate from one another, they're still metame, not like Ula, who requires that the two chatzai zesim be linked to one another. Va'asa Rabbi Eliezer lemeimer v'hu denisa. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, they're only going to be metame, bimaga, bimasa, if they are Nisa, if they could be lifted together at the same time, meaning they're connected to one another, they pick up half of it, the whole thing is going to lift with it. Says Gemara, yeah, but then Umay Af. Why does Rabbi Lezer say Af? Meaning Rabbi Lezer is coming to be Mema'it. He's not coming to add to the Chachamim. He's coming to qualify that. No, it doesn't. It's not always Metame. It's only Vuhu Denisa. It's only if they're fully connected to one another. So says Gemara, Ema, that you have to change the Girsa in the Brisa and take out the word af, and instead it should say v'hu denisa, that we add that as a qualifier rather than as an addition. Okay, so now we begin a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah talks about the dinim of bones when it comes to tumah, and whether the marrow inside of the bone causes an additional level of tumah. So kulas hames, you have a bone that's totally closed in, meaning the marrow is totally closed in of a dead body. The kulas hamukdashin, or the kolis of with moach inside of it, of a karban that was nosar or pigul, where there's a halacha that it's mitame yaseyadayim, it's a din midrabanan that it's mitame, but nosar or pigul is mitame on a drabanan level. Sanogea behen, if you touch this kolis or of the mace or of the pigul and nosar, bein stumim, whether the bone is totally closed off on all sides and therefore you don't have any access to the marrow on the inside because it's totally covered by bone, bein nekuvim, or whether there's a hole in the bone that provides an access point to the marrow inside, tamei, you're going to be tamei anyway, because the kolos ha-mace is tamei, because an etzem of a mace, an etzem kisaor of a mace is metamei b'mago masa, so the kolos is obviously much larger than an etzem kisaor, so I don't care about the marrow inside, it's metamei anyway b'mago masa, because it's an etzem kisaor of a mace, and as far as the mukdashim, as far as the nosar, or the pigle, the bone of nosar or pigle, even though the bone itself is not nosar, it's only the moach that's inside of it that's nosar, you still become tamei when you touch the bone, because the bone serves the marrow inside, and the chamar goes to tuma even on the bone that is mishamish the nosar. So even if you didn't touch the actual nosar, not only were the gozer tuma on the nosar, the gozer tuma on the bone that is mishamish the nosar. Now, kazayis basar from a nevela is mitame b'mago u'b'masa. Kazayis basar of a nevela is mitame b'mago u'b'masa. The asheretz is mitame b'maga v'lo b'masa. But an etzem from a nevela or from a sheretz, a bone from a nevela or a sheretz, is not mitame at all. There's no din of tumah of bones of nevela and bones of a sheretz. But the marrow inside of a bone is not bone, it's basar. So the Mishnah discusses a bone of a nevela or a sheretz that has marrow inside of it. So do we say that you become tameh on account of the marrow, because the marrow is the basar? So kolis nevela v'kolis hasheretz hanogeh behem, if you touch the bones, stumim, and they're totally close in all the marrow, there's no access point to the marrow inside, tahorim, you're tameh, you're not tameh masi, you're not tameh b'magda, because the bone itself is not metameh, and it's not going to be metameh on account of the marrow inside of them, because you don't have any access to the marrow inside. It's not possible to touch the marrow inside. So even though, generally speaking, when you touch a shomer of tumah, you become tameh as well, even if you don't touch the tumah itself. But when you touch a bone, you don't become tameh. You didn't shomer of the moach that's inside of it, because the shomer is not metameh unless you're able to touch the actual tumah itself. And over here, you have no access to the tumah itself, and maybe the shomer is not going to be able to metameh you either. But nekuvim, if there's a hole in the bone that provides an access point to the moach inside, kolshu, even if that hole is just teeny tiny, where you could stick a hair inside of that hole, and that's the only way you'll be able to access the moach, metame b'maga. Then the bone is metame b'maga, someone who touches it, because the bone is a shomer to the moach that's inside of it. Minayin sha'af b'masa. So the Mishnah explains, how do I know the bones of a nevela that are closed off are metame even b'masa? Tamalomar, from the fact that the Torah says, when it comes to tumas maga and tumas masa, hanogeya v'hanosei, it says hanogeya v'hanosei yitma da'erev, and then it also says that in the very next pasuk, v'hanosei esnev l'sei chabes b'gadav v'tamei, so we darshan esha b'luchal maga b'luchal masa, that only that which can bring you tumas maga will be able to bring you tumas masa. masa. But lo bal l'chal maga, if it's not able to bring you tumas maga, lo bal l'chal masa, it will not be able to bring you tumas masa. So the kolus of the nevela that is stuma, that's totally closed off, you don't have any access to the moach, it's not bal l'chal maga, and mimela, it's not bal l'chal masa. So kazayis basar min ames is metame, as we said, maga, masa, and oel. If it's a dead body, kazayis basar of a dead body, maga, masa, and oel. Etzem min ames is metame b'maga b'masa, but not ba'ohel. A bone of a dead body, maga and masa, but not ohel. What about kolus ames? Is that metame ba'ohel because there's basar in there? Or do we say, no, it's bone, and bones are not metame ba'ohel. So the Mishnah had said that if you touch the kolus ames, you become tame. So that's clear, because whether it's bone or meat, when you touch it, you're going to become tame. But nogea in avol mai hilo, but the no what the Mishnah didn't say. It didn't say if you're in the same ohel or you're ma'il over a kolus min ames, then you're going to become tame. So the implication is you're not, that you don't become tame when you're ma'il over a kolus min ames. So what exactly is the Mishnah talking about? Idi kazayis basar, if we're talking about when you have a kazayis basar on the bone, ba'ol nami l'tame. So it should be mitame ba'ol as well, like a kazayis min ames, that's mitame ba'ol. So says Gemara, delaka kazayis basar. No, it must be that we're talking about a bone that doesn't have a kazayis basar on it, and the bones obviously are not going to be mitame ba'ol. Well, frak the Gemara, wait a second, vidi kazayis smoke, maybe for him, forget about a kazayis basar on the bone, what about a kazayis basar in the bone? If there's a kazayis of moach inside, tuma b'kas viola, the tuma should shoot straight through the bone and be metame ba'ol. So and ba'ol nami letame. So deleka kazayis moach b'fnim. The Mishnah must be talking about a case where there's less than a kazayis of moach inside. Because had there been a kazayis of moach inside, in a chinami, that tumas mace would be metame ba'ol, it would go right through the bone and be metame ba'ol. Now, even though we're talking about that there is no kazayis basar and there's no kazayis moach, still says the Gemara, there should still be a way that it's metame ba'ol. Meaning we're trying to figure out why is it that in the Mishnah we said that this kolus of a dead body is not metame ba'ol. So first we said, it can't be that it has a kazayis basar on it, because that would be metame ba'ol. Can't be that it has a kazayis basar in it, because that would be metame ba'ol. There's still another way that it could be metame ba'ol, even without a kazayis basar on it, and without a kazayis basar in it. If there's enough marrow inside that it would that if the animal was still alive, this is sufficient marrow to heal that the limb would heal itself if the person were alive. We're talking about from in a mace of a human mace. So if the person were alive, it would heal itself. That if let's say a person had an injury where the basar that was on the bone that gets removed somehow. So if there's enough marrow in the bone for the basar to grow back, for the body to heal itself, so then it has a din of an aver. So and therefore it would be metame ba'ohel. So aver ma'aliyehi, an etzem alone that will allow the aver to regenerate itself is considered a full aver and ba'ohel nami letame. So even without a kazayis basar on it, but if in its current condition it would be strong enough to heal itself had the person been alive, so then it's a real aver, and aver min ames are metame ba'ohel. So how come it's not metame ba'ohel? So I'm reviewed the braid of b'chiyas osameres moach b'fremein amala aruchem b'chutz. It must be that the metzias is that the moach on the inside would not allow it to heal on the outside, and therefore a bone without any basar is not called an aver, because if a person were alive, it wouldn't heal itself, and therefore it's not metame ba'ohel. So in order to make our Mishnah make sense, we have to say that the case is that the bone does not have a kazayis basar on the outside, does not have a kazayis of moach in the inside, and that the metzias is that it would not be strong enough to heal itself. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, b'mayukimta, deleka kazayis. We're saying now that the Mishnah must be talking about bones that don't have a kazayis of moach inside of the bone. Well, iach, if that's the case, the Mishnah goes on to say that b'mukdashim, amay metame, the Mishnah goes on to say that if it's a kolus shel hekdish, so it's metameyu. But if there's no kazayis basar, then why is it metameyu? The Chazal were goes there tumah on on basar that's nosar. They were not gozer tuma on bones that are nosar. So if you don't have a kazayis basar to begin with, why would it be metame? Why would it be metame as a yadayim? There's no gzeiras tuma visu, and not only by the case of mukdashim in the Mishnah, it went on to say kolus nevela, the kolus hasheret, that if you have a kolus of a nevela or a sheret, that if there's a hole in it, that you have an access point to the moach inside, then it's going to be metame. Ki nikvu amai metamu. Even if there is a hole in it, why would it be metame? The etzem is not mitzdarif to the tumah, and there's no kazayis inside there. So if you can say the whole kimto of the Mishnah is that it's not a kazayis basar, the first halacha of the Mishnah makes sense. None of the other halachas of the Mishnah makes sense. An etzem in a mace, that makes sense. That's not metame ba'ol, because there's no kazayis basar, but and the etzem kisa'ora itself is metame maga, but the din of mukdashim, the din of nevela, the din of sheret, those all hinge on it being the kazayis of basar. So says Marahalo Kasha, Reisha Delak Kazayis, Sefadika Kazayis. The Gemara answers that it must be that the first halach in the Mishnah is talking about where there's no kazayis of basar. All the other halachs in the Mishnah are talking about a different metzias, where there is a kazayis of basar. Umayka Mashmalan, and what's the Mishnah teaching me? It already taught me in other places that an etzem in a mace, that's at least the size of a sa'ora, is metame magamasa and not metame ba'oel. So what's the chiddish of the Mishnah? So mili kamashmalan. The Mishnah is telling me a number of different things. Each line in the Mishnah is telling me a different chiddish. And here's how it runs. Reisha kamashmalan, the first line of the Mishnah about the kolus of a dead body of a human being, where it says that the bone is metame you b'mago but not ba'oel, is teaching me the following chiddish. It's telling me that chiddish, that the moach on the inside would not be enough to heal the limb on the outside if the person were alive. I didn't know that. If it were enough to heal the person on the outside, then it would be metame even ba'ol, because it would have a din of an aver. So it's telling me that very chiddish. Mukdashin, the idea that a colus bone of Hegdish is metame, a person who touches it, and we're talking about that there's a kazayis of moach inside, my kamash malon, what's the chiddish of that? Well, shimush nosa milsihi is coming to teach me that even though chazal were only gozer tuma on nos, on the basar of nosar, on nosar, which is basar, and all you're doing is you're touching the bone that's surrounding the moach, you're not touching the moach itself, that you still become tame, that the shimush nosar, the bone that is meshamish the nosar, is also something. Damari Baravua, Amrab Yitzchak, Katsamus Kachim Shashim Shunosar, Metamin Asiyadayim, Halvanas, Basel Sadavra Asir, that it's Metamin Asiyadayim, since they are functioning to protect, to serve the Nosar that's inside of it. We're kind of familiar with the concept of a Basel Sadavra Asir when it comes to Shabbos, but here we have it when it comes to Tumah, that the fact that it is the basis for the Moach inside of it, it will now transmit the Tumah to the person who touches it. So that's the Chiddush of that line in the Mishnah. And we then said that nevela, that if you have a bone of a nevela, that the moach is totally closed off, that it's going to be tahar if you touch it, but if there's an access point, if there's a hole in it, it's going to be tameh. What's the chiddush of that? Avagavdika kazayis, nikvi inlo, nikvi lo. That even though there's a kazayis of moach in there, if there's no access point to it, it's not going to be metameh you, because you're only if you touch a bone, you only become tameh where it's possible to touch the tumah itself. But if you have no possibility of touching the tumah itself, it will not be metameh you. So that's one explanation as to why in our Mishnah the bone of a human dead body is metameh b'maga, but it's not metameh ba'ohel, right? Why wasn't it metame ba'ol? So we said, because there's no basar on the outside, there's no kazayis basar on the outside, there's no kazayis basar on the inside, and it's not malaruka, would not self-heal. The problem with that approach is that the Mishnah is now inherently inconsistent, because the first case in the Mishnah is that there is no kazayis basar, every other case in the Mishnah is that there's yes kazayis basar. So a second approach. Abayi Amar Abayi says, li'ol ha'moach mibifnim malaruka mibachutz. Really, I'll tell you that a moach mibifnim, that having marrow on the inside will heal the bone, the limb on the outside, if the person were alive. And therefore, it should have a din of an aver that's metameh. V'hachav ma'eskinan, but in our Mishnah, when we talk about this kolus not being metameh ba'ol, it's bishashafa. It's that you scrape down the bone itself, and in such a case, it would no longer be able to be mala arucha. That, yeah, if the bone were intact, and it has some moach on the inside, and it were were attached to a live human body, even though the flesh on the outside is removed, it would heal itself. But once the bone itself is scraped, so the bone is damaged, and it would not heal itself. Because Rabbi Elazar, and then we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar, Tamar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Shashafa La'arka, that if you scrape it down lengthwise, and you don't scrape it all the way around, so there's a strip that runs lengthwise that is untouched. So tamei, it's going to be tamei, even though there's no basar on it, or, and there's no kazayis basar in it, because it has the din of an ever shalem, and it doesn't require a shear, because had it been alive, having at least one strip running the whole length of the bone that remains untouched would be enough to be mala aruka, would be enough to make it heal. But l'rechba, but if you go around the circumference of the bone and you split the top and the bottom and you scrape a ring around the entire bone so that it's the undamaged parts are not connected to one another, then it's tahora. Then it's going to be tahor. It doesn't have a din of an ever. V'simenayich dikla. And the simen to remember which way ruins it and which way doesn't ruin it is a dekel tree. That if you were to damage a dekel tree all along its length, but there's still a strip of undamaged parts of the dekel tree, so the sap and the nourishment is able to go from the bottom to the top. It's still able to heal itself. But if you were to make a ring around the dekel tree where you stop anything that goes from the bottom to reach the branches on the top, so then you would permanently damage the dekel tree. So the same is true by a bone. Now the Gemara says a third approach to our Mishnah. So again, the first approach to our Mishnah is that there's no, that the case of a kolis min ames is that there's no basar on it, there's no basar in it, and it's not mala aruka. The metzias is that something's not mala aruka, and that's the whole chiddush of the first case, is that it's not mala aruka. The second approach to our Mishnah is that the metzias is it is mala aruka, it does heal itself, but we're talking about a case where you damaged it to the point where it can't heal itself. Third approach, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, li olam di ika kazayis. The whole Mishnah is talking about where there is a kazayis of basar. If there's a kazayis of basar, why isn't the kolos min ames metame ba'ol? Umach mibifnim malaruk mibachutz. And when there's mach mibifnim, it is malaruk mibachutz. How come it's not metame ba'ol? Mainu ger de katani ma'hil. It is metame ba'ol. What made you think that it's not metame ba'ol? What made us think it? The Mishnah said, Nogea behen your tame. Yeah, the word nogea doesn't just mean touch; it also means ohel. So the Mishnah is actually telling us that atak is mitame ba'ohel. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. That sometimes the word nogea means ohel. V'imach mibefnim malaruch mibechutz kolus nevela v'kolus hasharitz kilo nikva ma'itahorim. Well, wait a second. If it self heals, then that's the metzias. Then how come in the case of a kolus of a nevela and a kolus of a sharetz that don't have an access point, why is it that they're touch? After all, the etzem is an aver, and aver is metame, even if it doesn't have moach inside. So why does the fact that it's closed off make it that it's not going to be tame? So I'm Rabbi Yom Bar Gidol, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Hachem Ayeskin and Kondika Gezayis Moach HaMiskashkesh, that there is a dried up moach inside of the hollowed out area of the bone. So it's in such a case, if it's dried up moach, it would not be malaruch in such case. So Gabi Meis, when it comes to a meis, it may not have a din of an aver min ames because it's not malaruka, but there's still a kazayis of basar min ames inside of there, which is metame ba'ol, and the bone that closes it up does not prevent the tumas ol because tumah bakas viola. The nature of tumas mes is that it breaks through anything that covers it directly. So unless you have a poseach tefach, unless you have a tefach of airspace to stop the tumah and create its own ol, the nature of tumas mes is that it breaks right through. Nevela, even the miskashkeshu, but when it comes to the kolos of a nevela, since the moach is dried up and it's not mala, it would not be mala arucha, it would not heal itself, so the bone itself is not metame like an aver, it's only be a shomer of the moach, and therefore nikvein lo nikvelo, the shomer, it's only metame is a shomer of the moach if there's an access point to the moach itself. The Gemara brings a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that sometimes ohel is called maga. Amar Rabbi Yavin vitem Rabbi Yossi Baravin, we have a Mishnah, Maseches Olos, Hanogea b'kachatzizayis, umayhil al chatzizayis. If a person touches with one hand, and at the same time he's ma'ihil over another chatzi zayis min ames. Oh, chatzi zayis ma'ihil alav, or he touches a chatzi zayis, and a chatzi zayis min ames is hovering over him. So in such a case, tame. In both of those cases, the person becomes tame. So the Gemara explains why. Iyam bishlama. I understand very well that tumas magen tumas ol chad shmahu, that they're considered the same thing. So the Mishnah is mitame him, because he's being mitame to shnei chatzayizim in the same exact way. So mishum hachi mitzdarif. So they're mitzdarif to one another, and he's going to become tame. Eli iyam treish meininu. But if you hold that they're two totally separate shemos, tumas ovel is not called magla. Magla is not called ovel. So mi mitzdarif. So can the chatzayiz that you're touching be mitzdarif for the chatzayiz that's ovel va'tanan? But doesn't the Mishnah say zaklal kol shumi shem echad mitzdarif tame mishnei shemos tar? Anything that's mishem echad is mitzdarif to a shir of tuma, but if it's mishnei shemos, if it's two different types of tuma, then it's not mitzdarif. Ah, it must be that Rabbi Yochanan is right, that tumas ovel is called maga, that sometimes that tumas ovel and maga are considered shem echad, they're considered the same type of tuma. So ask the Gemara, elamai chad, so what are you trying to say? That chad shmahu, that it's all one shem? Yeah, but then how do you make sense of the seifa, of that very source, of that very Mishnah, where Ema Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah goes on to say, Avalonogea, but Chatzi Zayas Vidover Acher, Mahilala, Vialka Chatzi Zayas. Let's say, it's not that you're touching a Chatzi Zayas and the Chatzi Zayas is floating over your head, it's that you're touching a Chatzi Zayas and you're in the same room as another Chatzi Zayas. You're in the same OL as another Chatzi Zayas. Tahar, that's not Mitzdarif. But Ichat Shmahu, am I Tahar? But if OL and Maga are all the same, then why are you Tahar? They should be Mitzdarif. So the Kasher Reisha says, yeah, but it is Mitzdarif in the Reisha, even though it's OL and Maga. So we got to figure this out, right? Why is the OL in the Reisha Mitzdarif to the Maga, and Oel in the Seifa is not Mitzdarif to the Maga? So the Gemara says it's a Stira Minei Ubei in the Mishnah. How do you answer that? Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Reisha is Betumah Ratzutza Bein Shnei Migdalei Maskinan. We're talking about a Tumah that is trapped in between two closets, that Ve'in Beinei and Poseach Tefach, and these two closets don't have a Shear of Poseach Tefach of between them, so the Shear of the width of the Tumah in order to be Tame ba'oel is a tefach al tefach dekula negiyahi. So in such a case where there's no tefach al tefach between them, all of the space between these migdalim is all negiya. That the mayil, if you're mayil over there, it's called negiya. Meaning this halach l'moshe m'sinai that an oel is chotzitz b'fnei atuma only if there's a space of a tefach in between them. If there's no chalal tefach, then it's as if the entire chalal is full of tuma. So over here also, when the tuma is between the migdalim and there's no rochav tefach between them, we view the entire chalal between these two migdalim as if it's full of tumah. And therefore, if you put your hand between these migdalim and your ma'ahil on that chatzi zayis that's in that teeny tiny space, you just put your finger in there and it's right over the chatzi zayis, you're touching tumah. That's called that you're touching tumah, because the tumah fills that space. So even though your hand is above the basar hames, it's ki'ilu you're touching it. That's what the Reisha was talking about, that it's mitzdarif with the tumas maga of the your other hand touching another chatzi zayis. But stam tumas oel is not called nogea, and therefore in the seifa of the Mishnah, the two chatzi zayisim are not mitzdarif with one another, because in the seifa it's regular tumas oel. This is a unique tumas oel where it's trapped within a less than a tefach of space, where there's tuma trapped within less than a tefach of space. So when you touch any of that airspace, that's maga. So mantana tekari. So the Gemara explains, who is the Tana that Rabbi Yochanan quotes that refers to Oel as Nogea, that says that when our Mishnah says Nogea, it really means Oel? Rabbi Yossi, that it's following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Titania, the Brisa tells us as follows: Rabbi Yossi Omer Melo Tarvid Rekev. If you have a spoonful, a ladleful of Afar that's found inside of an Aron of a mace, it's the decomposed matter of the mace. Mitaim Magu Masaba Oel. It's Mitaim Magu Masaba Oel in a shear of Malo Tarvid. It's Halachal Moshim Sinai. Less than that shear is not Mitame. So the Gemara explains how I know that Rabbi Yossi holds that an Oel is called Nogea. So Bishlam b'maso ba'Oel. I understand very well that it's Matai b'maso ba'Oel because Hakata in Leilakulei. Because when you're carrying it, you're carrying all of it. It's all in the spoon. It's in the ladle. Hakamayhil akulei. I understand why it's Matai ba'Oel when you're Mayhil over it, because you could be Mayhil over all of it at once. Elenogea, Elenogam kulei. It's dust. You can't possibly touch every particle at the same time, so you're never touching all of it. You're always only touching part of it. So it must be that what is nogea that Rabbi Yossi is metame in the Brisa? It's when you're ma'ihil on the entire rekev together, and the fact that he calls it maga, even though it's not about touching it. You can never be touching every particle of the death dust or whatever you want to call this of this rekev. No, it must be that it, being ma'ihil on it is called maga. But v'katani nogea v'katani ma'il. How could you say that? It says in the Mishnah that it says in the Brisa that it's metame b'maga b'masa uba'ohel. If the word maga means ohel, then how come it says it is two separate item lines of maga, masa, and ohel? So Amar Abaye explains lemata mitefach ol negia, lemaila mitefach ol greda. That there are two types of tumas ohel. When you're ma'il, when in between your hand and the tuma, there's less than a tefach of space, that's an oel negia. It's a type of oel because your hand is hovering over the tuma. It's not touching the tuma, but that's the tuma that's like maga. It's an inch above the tuma. That's like maga. But the tuma goes ad l'rakia, and your hand is many tefachim above where the tuma is. So the oel will hit you. The tuma oel will hit your hand, but that's not called maga. That's only called tuma oel. It matters how close you are to the to the tumah itself. Rava says a different chilik. Not that it's about how far above the tumah your hand is. No, you could be way above the tumah and it's still called tumas maga. It's a type of oval that we refer to as tumas maga. The type of oval that we don't refer to as tumas maga is not when you're hovering above the oval, nor above the tumah, nor when the tumah is hovering above you, but when you're in the same room as the tumah. So there are two types, according to Rava, there are two types of tumas ohel. There's tumas ohel where you hover above the tuma, and or the tuma hovers above you. That's one type. And then there's tumas ohel where you happen to be in the same room as the tuma. The second type of tumas ohel is not like maga. This is a mechap and nafkamina and halacha. Many of the poskim say that even though mesei akum are metame b'mago masa, but not ba'ohel, mesei akum are not metame ba'ohel, maybe that's only by ohel hamshacha. Like Rava saying, maybe that's only about being in the same room as the mace, but you still not let it hover above mace akum, right? Those that are makil about kohanim going to medical school, if they don't touch the cadaver, because it's only oval, it's only in the same room, and even though in Shulchan Aruch we try to be machmir, but it's only a chumra, so there's room to perhaps be makil about being in the same room. But the second you hover over it, it might be a bigger problem, because that's not oval hamshacha anymore. So Amar Rav Amina Aminala, Rava says, how do I know that according to Rabbi Yossi, even if you're ma'il more than a tefach above, it's considered to be that you're nogea b'tumah, d'tanan, because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, chavile mita, if you have the ropes that are attached to the bedpost where you would put the mattress on top of it to support the mattress, usurige chalonos, or the I don't know what you call them the lattices in a window to prevent things from just flying right through in order that a person shouldn't be able to a burglar shouldn't be able to break into your house. So if the space between and you mevatel them to the bayis chotz in bein habayis la'aliyah. So window when shas refers to a window, very often it's not what we call a window, it's what we would call a skylight. It's between one floor and above. It's not on a wall, it's on a ceiling. So it's a chatzita between the bayis and the aliyah, shelo lachnas tumah letzad sheni, that it becomes like a roof that prevents tumah from going from the bottom floor to the top floor. Parsonal p'nei ames ba'avir, if you have a dead body though out in the field and you take these things and you just put it over the mace, hanogea k'neged ha'nekev tameh, so then if you're ma'il over the open areas of these serigim, then you're going to become tame from the mace. But shalokin agan nekev tahar. But if you're where you touch above the this lattice is above the closed off part, then it would have stopped the tumah and you're going to be tahar. Well, hechidami, what exactly are we talking about? Ilema, if we talk about lemata mitafach, that it's above the mace, but within the tefach of the mace, shalokin agan nekev amay tahar. Why would you ever be tahar when you touch the area above it? Mace biksusahu, it should be like the clothing of a mace. That, yeah, the clothing of a mace covers a mace, but it doesn't stop the tumah from shooting straight up. So mace biksusahu metame, it's absolutely metame, elav lemalami tefach. But so it must be that we're talking about that it's hovering above the mace more than a tefach above the mace. V'kakari le'nogeya, and yet we still call that if you're if you are accessing the point that's above the open window of the of this thing that's above the mace, that's called nogeya. What do you mean it's called nogeya? You're not touching the mace. You're only accessing the space above the mace. That's not nogeya. Ah, so you see that it must be that's called nogeya. That an ohel is called nogeya unless it's an ohel hamshacha. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Abaye. Everyone have a great day.